didn't even have a good mailing system. Paul had to send somebody back to Thessalonica to check to see how the church was doing. Paul said, I couldn't stand it anymore. I just had to know how you were doing. As Christians, we have that fellowship. We've talked about this in Timothy. We have this desire to be together. We have a desire to want to worship together and have that fellowship and have that study and have that ministry together, because it builds us up. It's easier to stand in a group and with a group with us than it is to stand alone. I know some people like to stand alone, but standing alone, it gets you knocked down faster. It gets you picked off easier by the devil. We're going to see that in just a minute this morning. But what happens is, Paul wanted to know, so he sent Timothy to see how they were doing. He just had to know how his brothers and sisters in Thessalonica were doing. And so he sent Timothy back to see and check on them. You know, it doesn't hurt to call and check on your neighbor, check on your brother and sister in Christ. And there's a reason for that. He said to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. We said this already, but this is what happens when we check on others. We need to establish. We're establishing our faith. We're establishing it by comforting one another. We're building up that person that we're checking on. Because I'm going to tell you something. He tells us in that next sentence that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now, we're all going to go through afflictions. This is the reason we need to be checking on one another as Christians. This is we need to be concerned about one another as Christians, because all of us are going to go. If we're not going through an affliction, we're going to go through an affliction. Something is going to happen in your life. Now, with the church at Thessalonica and where Paul was at in his ministry, the afflictions were this. They were being persecuted. They were being jailed. All kinds of terrible things were happening to them as a result of ordinances, as a result of the government being against Christianity, the Roman Empire being against the Christians, all kinds of afflictions, and because of their stance for the gospel and preaching that there was only one way of salvation, and that was Jesus Christ. They were preaching only that Jesus is the only way, and there's only one God, and they were preaching things that were contrary to what the Romans believed, who believed that Caesar was a god, and that there were many gods in the world, and so they were being afflicted. They were being afflicted in Jerusalem, where they were preaching Jesus was the Messiah. Affliction was coming. Paul had been arrested, and Paul had been put in jail, and Paul had been stoned. You'll go through and read those things that happened to Paul, the afflictions that happened in his life. Affliction is something that happens to Christians. Somebody said, well, I thought if you became a Christian, then you got to live in a rose garden. God never promised us that. There's some thorns, and there's some stickers, there are some briars. Life is full of afflictions. And when we check on others, it lifts them up. But I want you to know, Paul's going to say in just a minute, and I'll go ahead and skip over that, get to that point, when we'll read it in just a minute. Paul wants you to know this, that when you're going through affliction and you check on others, and when you're going through affliction and you have concern for others, what does it do? It lifts you up. Somebody said, well, I'm really down and I'm really out, and you don't know all the afflictions. Paul's going to talk about afflictions and tribulation in just a minute. And he said, but what it does, look what he says, verily, verily, when we were with you, we told you before we should suffer tribulation. And it came to pass, and you know, for this cause when I no longer could bear, but forbear, I want to know how your faith was, lest some means a tempter have tempted you. This is what happens. I'll come back to what I was going to say in just a minute about what it does for you when you check on others. This is what we know. When we're out here singled out on our own, we've seen this with new Christians in recent months. It's harder for them to stay in touch. It's harder for them to continue on in that new walk as in Christ, because the devil is going after you. The devil is going to tempt you. And the devil is going to try to mislead you. The devil is going to try to tear you down. And make you think what you have is useless. But it is not. And this is the reason we need to be ministering to all the time, all of us. We need to all be ministering to one another. We all need to be concerned about one another and calling people and checking on people, or maybe going by the house and knocking on the door. I know in this day of social distancing, you can do it safely. Just talk to them from outside the door and let them know that, and just go pray with people, because this is what you need to know, that the devil is after them. He said, the tempter have tempted you. The devil is going to draw people away, and he can't do, it's harder for him to do that when we're together. The devil's like that old, I said the other week, the devil's like that old lion on the Serengeti. The lion, he waits for the one zebra or the one wildebeest to wander off by himself, to get out by himself, and then he attacks him with everything that he has. This is the way the devil works. We're together as Christians. We're doing the comforting. We're coming and worshiping together. And I know Debbie's got a plan to reopen Sunday school that she's been working on. And she's going to, I guess, maybe. Debbie, you back here. You're going to bring it up next Sunday night at business meeting, right?
Yeah.
And so Debbie has a plan to reopen Sunday school in the next couple weeks. And when we get out of Sunday school, we're surrounded by our Christian brothers. This is what happens. Our Christian sisters. The devil is going to attack you when you're with others, though, there's protection. The others build you up. They pray for you. Paul said, I just couldn't stand it. I had to know how you were doing. How you were doing, and to make sure on their behalf that the devil had not tore them down. He says, but now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. Now look what he says. I found out about your faith, about your love, the way you were concerned for one another, the way you were giving. That word charity there also is not the Greek word agape, or some of the words we translate sometimes charity. They were showing their love and demonstrating their love through the way that they were sharing and giving to others, giving to the Lord, giving so that others could have food to eat, and they were blessing and taking up their offerings. I can share that with you again sometime while we need to give. First of all, it's a commandment of God, but it's the way that we minister. It's the way that we minister. I read the other day, and I was really encouraged, Samantha. I read the other day that during this time, everybody was worried about the cooperative program and our institutions. They're better funded today than they were 3 months ago, 4 months ago. I just want to tell you something. I think the devil can use this time, and maybe some people, but you know what we have found out? People are giving more during the pandemic than they have at any other time to the cause of the church and to the cause of Jesus Christ. Y'all have given amen on that. I mean, that's a blessing to know that there has been more offerings, and offerings have increased during this time rather than decreased. A lot of people thought we were going to have to defund a lot of the Southern Baptist Convention, but instead now we've got more money. We've got an opportunity to even do more things. What the devil intended for bad has turned into something good. It's been a test, and we see how God has blessed through people's charity. I just want to throw that in this morning. Man, just because you're going through affliction doesn't mean, and the church of Philippi was going through affliction, and yet they were still giving and they were still contributing, and the ministry of the gospel was going forward as it never had before in those times. I read on Facebook the other day, and I heard a man the other day, this guy on TV said the same thing on a news show. He said, the only reason they're wanting to go back to church is so them preachers can get that money. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We proved that wrong. Well, the reason we want to be back in church is because we want to be together. And we want to have that fellowship. We want to have that uplifting. We want to have that upbuilding. We want to have that koinonia that causes us so that we don't stumble, so that we don't fall. And then when we're afflicted, we have somebody and we can turn to one another. Amen. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want the building up. The building up. Paul said he desired greatly to see them. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted. Now, this is what happens. You're going through affliction. Paul was going through affliction. Everywhere Paul went in his ministry, there was tribulations, there was affliction, there were trials. You think about Paul's last 2 years of his life that we know of. He was in chains and under arrest by the Romans for preaching the gospel of Jesus in Jerusalem. And so Paul knew about affliction, and this is what he said happens. You notice Paul writes a lot of his letters to the churches while he's under arrest. Now, the Thessalonican church was not one of those churches, but he writes to the different churches to want to know how they're doing, how they're being, and this is what happens. When you're under affliction, when you're going through trials, when you're going to, instead of saying, oh, woe is me, and look how bad and sad I am, this is what you need to do. You need to start checking on other people. When you start loving other people, checking on other people, ministering to other people, guess what happens? You get lifted up. Paul said that he was lifted up when word came back about how good things were going. But, you know, when you reach out, he sent Timothy as the arm to reach out. And when the word came back, it was a comfort to him in his affliction. If you minister, somebody said, well, I just can't do that right now. You don't know what I'm going through. Can I tell you something? If you're not busy ministering, you're not busy sharing the gospel, you're not busy talking to others about Jesus or showing the love of Jesus to others, you're going to wallow in your own misery. You're going to wallow in your own misery. That's an expression they used to use down south, wallowing in your misery. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but you can be wallowing in your own misery and getting lower and lower and lower. But what you need to be doing is being concerned. When you become concerned with other people and other people's needs, guess what? It lifts you up. It makes you feel better. It makes your affliction seem light. For now we live. Look what he says. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. While we're building others up and they're standing fast in the Lord. Paul said that's what life is all about. That's what life is all about, is building other people up. Life is all about doing the good. Life is all about sharing the gospel. Life is all about, and that's what it is to live. Some people have the wrong idea about living. They think living's making a fortune. Or they think living's living in a big house. Or they think living's doing this kind of stuff. Lusting after the things of the world is living. No, it's not. Living for the Lord, serving the Lord, is really living. I thought about telling that old joke again this morning. And maybe, I think I will. You all have heard it 100 times. There was a man down in Texas years ago, big old man, had billions and billions of dollars. He was trying to figure out how to take it with him. And so he had a great big Cadillac, and he had his body placed in the Cadillac. And while I was in the Cadillac, he had all his money put in there. Do I need water? Oh, if I need, thank you. He had his money put in the car with him, and they drove him down the street in the funeral procession in his Cadillac. And they dug a big hole out the cemetery to place it. He figured out how, he said, and this one lady standing on the street said, ain't that living? Now, he was dead, right? Y'all got that. And she said, ain't that living? I'm going to tell you something. That ain't living. What living is telling others and sharing others and being involved in other people's lives and loving them and caring for them in the name of Jesus Christ. That's living. That's living. That's not, you're not having a life until you begin to minister, Paul said. And look what he said. For now we live. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? Remember, he opened up 1 Thessalonians giving thanks for them. He said, I give thanks for you today. Paul thanked the Lord every day for all those who had known Christ. And I'll say this again. I said this is a simple letter in the Bible. It's probably one of the earliest books written in the Bible. And here's what Paul says. I give thanks for you all the time. Now, what happens? When I start thanking God for my fellow Christians, even those who I disagree with, and there's going to be times when we disagree, even those who don't always see eye to eye with them, but I know they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if I start giving thanks for them and their lives, you know what? It lifts me up. And it shows that we really are concerned. Paul was giving thanks every day for the Christians at Thessalonica. Paul was giving thanks every day for those Christians. We ought to give thanks for our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I want you to look around the room this morning, those that are with you, and I want you to pick out somebody other than your spouse or your child that you're going to give thanks for this week. Just look around this morning and say, I'm going to start giving thanks for that person. I'm going to start giving. You don't have to tell them you're going to give thanks for them. Do it secretly. But start praying and see what a difference it'll make in their lives and making your lives as you begin to thank, give thanks and bring them before the Lord. Man, we ought to thank God for our fellow Christians. We ought to get up every morning and say, I am thankful I have a church that I can have a member of. We ought to be thankful for our church and we ought to be thankful for all our fellow Christians. Night and day pray exceedingly, he says, that we might see your face. Night and day Paul prayed that he could return to that church and see them again. And talk to them more and help them grow their faith more. Now look what he says. Here's part of that prayer Paul's praying. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. We ought to be praying that we can get back to church. One of our prayers every day ought to be, we want to get back together. Just not during these last 20, 15 weeks or whatever it's been. We ought to be praying every day. This ought to be our daily prayer every day. I just can't wait to get back to church. I just can't wait to get back into my small group or my missions group or whatever group it is that we have that koinonia, we have that fellowship where we build one another up. Night and day praying that we can see each other again. Night and day that we can be directed to come together again. And that the Lord may increase and abound in love one toward another. Here's something we pray for. Here's a prayer that we pray for other Christians. That their love would increase towards other people. And so the person you told me to think about, and you told me to commit to somebody, they're the most loving. I'm going to tell you something. He said that pray that their love, that you know what? Even the most loving person has more room to love. Even the most loving person has more room to love in their hearts. Because we serve a Jesus who loved us unconditionally. He said, come as you are. What? Are. You know, come as you are. Just as I am is what we used to sing at the end for invitation. Just as I am. Without one plea. You know, but this is how we pray. Jesus loved unconditionally. He didn't look to see what was going on. He didn't say, well, I love him because of this, or because he does this, or she does that, or he does this, or he does that. Unconditional love has no basis for what they're doing, but just simply who they are. We just love people because of who they are. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ simply because of who they are. They're our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and we pray that their love would abound in, that they would abound in love more and more and more. And you know what happens when we begin to pray that prayer? We begin to love more than we've ever loved before. We begin to grow in how to love more than ever before. You start praying for others and God will hear your prayers. He'll answer your prayers. And you know what? And he'll cause you to grow in grace. He'll cause you to grow in love and in mercy. Somebody said, how do I pray for somebody? If you don't know what else to pray for them, just pray that they'll be more loving. I don't care if they're the most loving person in the world. You know what? I said this already. They got more room for love. They've got more room for love. Right? Don't they? They got more room. You got more room. I've got more room. And love towards one another, toward all men, even as we do towards you. And just not your brothers and sisters in Christ. You learn to be loving towards everybody. No matter what who they are, no matter what their background is, no matter what they're doing, you begin to love them. We ought to love people. It's kind of hard to share Jesus with people if you don't know them. Man, I want you to know, I don't care if they're brown or black or red or white or yellow or purple or blue. I want you to know something. Everybody needs to be loved, and everybody needs to love with Jesus in their hearts. And it's our job to do that. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. And here's Paul's final prayer, part of Paul's final prayer for the church of Thessalonica, is that they would what? Be established their hearts unblameable. We will never be perfect in this life. That's what I've always grown up hearing. We're striving to be more like Christ each day. But we don't want to have blame in our hearts. We want to be more like Christ each day. Look what he says, unblameable in holiness. In holiness. We ought to be striving to be holy. You know, God said, be holy because I am holy. The week after next, in chapter 4, before we get to my favorite part of chapter 4, we're going to talk about fornication a little bit. That's unholiness. Before God, even our Father, look what he says. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You better be doing these things because Jesus is coming back. You better be doing these things because at any moment, Jesus could part the eastern sky. I was talking to Brian Roberts yesterday, and he was giving me some of his eschatological views, or end time views, and I began to think, boy, that makes sense. That makes sense what he was saying. You know, I don't know about y'all. I just got a feeling. I look forward to it. I just got a feeling Jesus is going to be back within the next 20 years. I can't give you a reason I'm saying that, but I just think he's coming back and it's going to be soon. I think we need to be ready for him. It could be this afternoon that he comes back. It could be the in just an hour that he comes back. And when he comes back, Paul said he wanted the church in Thessalonica to be unblameable in holiness before God. And what Paul's saying is it's time we start, we need to pray for ourselves and each other, that we would begin to live unblameable, holy lives. Not self-righteous lives, but lives that are holy in the eyes of God. And when we compare our holiness to God's holiness, we cannot compare because he is the Holy One. But he has told us that we're to be striving and growing in holiness to be more like him. I just want you to know, you don't want to get caught unprepared. If Jesus doesn't come back in the next 20 years, I look around the room, some of us won't be here in 20 years anyhow. We're already going to be standing before him and giving an account of our lives and standing up and standing before him in that day. We need to be ready. And we need to be praying for our fellow Christians that they're being more holy, they're being more Christ-like, they're being more loving, they're being all these things. And I'm going to tell you, if you start praying for them, it's going to happen in your life also. If I start praying, Gilbert gets more loving, Carissa said, please do. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to get more loving in my life. Gilbert starts praying for Oracle. Gilbert's going to get more loving in his life. Oracle, you're going to pick up too, but the more we pray for each other. I'm serious. I want all of us to look around the room. Don't tell the person you're going to be praying for. I want you to look around the room today. Pick out a person, young or old, whoever, whatever it is, and start praying for them, giving thanks for them, I want you to start looking around the room this morning. You pick that person out, you're going to pray that they'll be more loving and that God will establish their hearts in holiness. If we'll pray for those three things for one another, just think about what a difference it'll make in their life. Just think about what a difference it'll make in the community of Livermore. If the church starts praying for one another and being concerned for one another and being established in the Lord, what a difference it'll make. What a difference it'll make. Have you looked around the room yet? Have you thought about the person that you're going to pray for this morning? Be more loving? That you're going to give thanks for? That their hearts would be established. I'm going to tell you what. Somebody might say, preacher, I'm just really going through this damn time and there's just so much on me. I'm going to tell you what. If you'll start praying for others, you'll be coming up. Because, you know, you won't be focusing on yourself anymore. You'll be focusing on them and you'll be focusing on Jesus Christ. You see, and that's what it's really all about, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. And see, the one who came to this world to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't have a relationship with God. Some people say, I love God. And I say, do you know Jesus? Well, no. You can't love God unless you love Jesus and have Him in your heart. Because there's only one way to Jesus Christ. We're going to give an invitation this morning. There's only one way to Jesus Christ. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. You've got to have Jesus. You've got to ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You've got to believe in Him that He died and rose again and is alive today. And you've got to ask Him into your heart. And He says, if you'll ask me, and He says, if you'll do those things, He said, I will save you. Wouldn't you like to have Jesus today if you're here without Him? Or maybe you're watching on live stream this morning without Him. You need Jesus. You need that love of Jesus in your heart and in your life. Let's stand together and pray. Father God, this morning, right now as we're praying together in this place, Father, there may be somebody here that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Right now, they need to pray the following prayer and begin to follow, and as you, your Holy Spirit is convicting them this morning, saying, Father, I'm a sinner, but Father, today I come and I'm going to turn around from my sins. And as I turn around from my sins, as I'm transformed, Father, I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me on the cross. And Father, that 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And I say He's alive today, and I say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Pray that prayer this morning. And you're in this room, you need to step up and come right up here to one of these lines, right over to the three-point line and the volleyball line intersect, or maybe go back into the conference room this morning. And we'll be there to talk with you. But what if you accepted Christ, you need to step out and come this morning. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed for just a moment. Father, this morning as we're praying together, Father, there's other needs here. Father, today, there are people that are going through different kinds of affliction. Father, today, we just pray for them that you would lift them up. Father, today, that you would establish them in this place. Father, right now, that as we're praying, we want to be a loving church. We want to be a caring church. We want to be a church that reaches out, and we want to be a church that's concerned for each other. And we don't want the devil dividing us over silly issues and silly things. Because we want to be about the ministry that you have assigned us to do, to worship and to go out and to share the good news. We're living in days when the good news is needed as never before. So bless our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you leave, I want you to turn around and pick out the person you're going to pray. Don't tell them who they are. I'm serious about this. Now turn around, or maybe you're already looking at them, but you turn around and pretend you're not looking at them. Turn around and find somebody that you're going to pray for that in the coming weeks, that they would be more thankful, that you're thankful for, that they'd be more loving, and they'd be more holy. And I want you to pray the same prayer for yourself. But look around and find that person you're going to pray for this morning and lift them up in prayer, starting this afternoon and each day for the next week. If you'll do that for a week, I think you'll see a difference. If you can do it every day for the next month, I know you'll see a difference. And this will dismiss our services, and I hope y'all go out in an orderly manner. And we'll see you tonight. It's 5 o'clock, or Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then, Drew, I'm going to be watching you next Sunday. I won't be here, but I'll be watching you on live stream, okay? And y'all pray for Drew. If you want somebody to pray for Drew. He's going to do 3 messages over next week. So let's pray for Drew. And that dismisses our service this morning.
Love.